On April 1st, the minimum wage in the city of Seattle will rise to $11 an hour. It's the first step in what will eventually be a $15 an hour minimum wage in the city. In many ways, Seattle's new minimum wage is an experiment. No city has ever attempted an increase this large before. So who's likely to be helped, and who's likely to be hurt? And where did the number 15 come from anyway? KUOW's Deborah Wong has the story.
The increase in the minimum wage is meant to help people like Angie Garcia. She's 20 years old and a single mother of a four-month-old girl named Sophia, who sits in a bouncy chair in the kitchen. Garcia works at McDonald's in Ballard, where she makes $9.60 an hour. When she leaves for work at 4:30 in the morning, Grandma watches the baby.
And it's not easy. So I feel bad because I can't pay her. She understands. But I feel better if I can pay her a little bit.
Now that the minimum wage is set to rise, Garcia says she's planning what she'll do with the extra money. If she keeps her current job, she'll earn about $11,000 more a year by 2017.
It's going to change everything because I can go back to school. I can start my college. So that is really big for me. It's like a really, really big help.
In the city of Seattle, about 100,000 people earn less than $15 an hour, according to a UW study. Socialist City Councilmember Shama Sawant is an economist and one of the prime movers behind the new minimum wage law. She says the wage increase will be great for those workers and for the economy as a whole.
You know, because your income is so small that when you get a slight increase in wages, you do tend to do things that you wouldn't otherwise do, probably buy better groceries, probably take your family out once in a while for a meal at a restaurant, buy your kids some ice cream, buy your daughter some, you know, books.
And that idea forms the basis of what's called middle-out economics, that when workers get a raise, everyone benefits. It's meant to be a counterpoint to trickle-down economics, the theory that holds that tax cuts for businesses and for the wealthy will eventually trickle down to those below. Now, if you've never heard of middle-out economics, don't be alarmed. It was probably not covered in your Econ 101 class. In fact, the term has only been around for a few years, and it didn't come from an economist or a think tank or a university.
I'm Nick Henauer, a venture capitalist, entrepreneur, civic activist, and author.
Nick Henauer says he and author Eric Liu coined the term middle-out economics during the last presidential election.
Raising the minimum wage isn't a matter of social justice, it's a matter of growth. And once you see it like that, now you're thinking, well, not how little should we do. Now you're thinking, what's the optimal level to raise it to generate growth?
Henauer says they settled on $15 as the optimal amount, and they began to sell it. Henauer is good friends with labor leader David Rolfe. In 2013, Rolfe's union, the Service Employees International Union, began organizing one-day walkouts of fast food workers around the country. They made $15 an hour, their central demand.
There was an enormous amount of work that went into evolving the theory of growth before you began to hear about it in Seattle. This was not an accident. It was a plan and executed, if I may say so, very well.
So that's the theoretical basis of Seattle's new $15 an hour minimum wage. But not everyone buys the theory.
Nationally, there's a lot of thought that this is a real whimsical idea, going to $15. I mean, you don't see a lot of places just all of a sudden going, oh, this is a terrific idea, let's go to $15.
Peter Nickerson is an economist in private practice. He used to be an economics professor at Seattle University. He worries that one of the biggest negative impacts of the minimum wage increase will actually be on workers themselves. With labor costs set to rise about 60% over the next few years, Nickerson says employers will demand much more from their employees.
There's going to be a shift in who's in that workforce. And the people that have very few skills and are uneducated and don't have good English skills are going to be pushed out. And I'm afraid that we're doing sort of a cleansing of the Seattle labor market at the bottom.
Nickerson says there's no question that many businesses will be hurt as well and that thousands of jobs could be lost. And that possibility makes many employers uneasy.
Stephen, how's the morning going?
Jeremy Hardy is part owner of three restaurants in Seattle, including Coastal Kitchen on Capitol Hill, where he's checking in on the breakfast crowd.
Hey, Em. How are you?
Hardy says he supports the minimum wage increase, but $15 came as something of a shock, especially for an industry that operates on thin margins.
And with this, with the labor pressures that are coming from this $15 eventual minimum wage increase, we're juggling with razor-sharp daggers. And if you don't get it right, it's really going to hurt.
For Hardy, it's a question of math. Labor accounts for one-third of his total costs. With wages rising dramatically, Hardy's looking for other places to trim. He's already opening the restaurant 1 hour later and closing 1 hour earlier.
What we're doing now is we're taking a look at all of our operating hours. I'm going through the hourly sales, and if it is not making money, if it's not profitable, we're not going to do it because we can't afford to.
Hardy has raised his menu prices 3% this year in anticipation of the April 1st increase, and he says he'll probably have to raise prices every year, but he's not sure how high they can go.
You know, if everything went up a dollar on our menu, I think the public would probably be okay with that. But if you're talking about a $5 latte, I don't think so.
And Hardy says restaurant owners are talking about eventually adding a service charge for labor directly onto each bill. Hardy says as difficult as this is, he and other veteran restaurateurs will survive. Getting through the recent recession honed his business skills, he says. But he worries for all those folks out there who are just starting out.
If I were me 20 years ago, I'm not sure I would have had the tools to have dealt with this. It's going to be the hardest, in my mind, on the people who are new. All these restaurants that are opening are carrying huge debt on their shoulders. It's a big burden that they're doing.
But there might be a silver lining. Hardy says this will force everyone to run their businesses smarter. And throughout this whole process, restaurant owners have joined forces as they never have before to share strategies for how to survive in this new labor market. I'm Deborah Wong, KUOW News.
This was the second part in our series about the new minimum wage. You can check out the whole series at kuow.org.